Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I'm so excited to share with you this interview that I did with Sherry LaPena for her new novel, Everyone Here Is Lying. If you love thrillers, especially ones that take place in suburban neighborhoods where you can trust no one, you will love this book. I couldn't put it down, and I was so excited to chat with Sherry LaPena about this book, and as you will hear, we had a great time and even maybe had an epiphany or two throughout the conversation. It was a blast. Without further ado, please enjoy my interview with Sherry LaPena. Hi, Sherry LaPena. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I am so happy to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Congrats on your new book. We are recording this during launch week. How's that going?
It's going really well. It launched in the UK last week, and it's done really well. It's a Sunday Times bestseller, number one in Ireland.
Yay!
And the reception in Canada has been really good. High hopes. Yeah.
Very good reception. I loved this book. I devoured it in like one day. I just sat down. I was like, yes, I love a thriller. For folks who haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, I wonder if you could give us the little summary of Everyone Here Is Lying.
Sure. So it starts off with a little girl. Her name is Avery. She's 9 years old. And she's a bit different. She's very, very challenging to parent and quite difficult. And she's been sent home from school for misbehaving. And she's not supposed to walk home from school alone. She's supposed to wait for her brother. But she goes home by herself and lets herself into the house. At the same time, her father, with whom she has a bit of a fraught relationship, has just been dumped by his lover. So he comes home unexpectedly, thinking the house will be empty. And he finds his difficult 9-year-old there, and they get into an argument, and it escalates, and he smacks her really hard. And then he apologizes, and he begs her not to tell her mother, and then he leaves. And all we know, this is the beginning point, this is what I began with, is this family has issues. And somehow they're going to come back to haunt us. And in any event, she disappears. The older brother comes home from school. She's not there. He panics. Everyone starts to look for her. The police are called, and the police come in and investigate. And everyone in the neighborhood is under scrutiny. And many of them have secrets that they want to hide. And, you know, it's very hard to keep things undercover when there's a murder investigation going on. So everybody's very unsettled, and some people are quite nervous. And, things get more and more tangled as we try and figure out what happened to Avery. There's lots of suspects and lots of lies. Hence the title.
Yes, it really is a trust no one kind of book. When you set out to write this book, did you have in mind this kind of like overlapping all of these different things piling on, or did it start more simply? Was there like one seed that started that kind of spiraled?
It started simply, as all my books do, with this one kernel of an idea, but all my books turn out to be like this. So I started it not knowing where it would go from that little altercation in the kitchen. I knew the girl would disappear. Mm-hmm. I knew the father would be a suspect, of course. I knew there was a mother with whom the father wasn't getting along very well. And I knew the girl was very difficult, but I didn't know much more than that. But all my books are the same in that I start with a kernel and then the story builds outward. And I realize there are many more suspects than the first one that meets the eye. And things get very complicated and people are in a very pressured situation and they make poor decisions, which leads to an even more pressured situation. And they all interact and one thing affects another and it just becomes a very interesting, complicated story. And you want to know how it's going to resolve.
Yeah. So
do all my books are like that.
Yeah, I love that. I'm in for it. Do you know the ending when you start, or does it surprise you as you go?
No, I have no idea what's going to happen in the book when I start. And I've written all my books that way, every single one of them. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't plot ahead. I don't plan. I just write at the keys and I figure it out as I go along.
That's
the way I do it.
incredible.
I know
That's
people are always
amazing.
amazed by this, but I'm not the only one. I mean,
No.
when I first started it, I thought you couldn't write a thriller that way. So I put off trying for years because I thought I wouldn't be able to do it. But when I did it, I was just shocked that you could write a thriller with a complicated plot without planning it ahead. And I've been doing it that way ever since.
I think that's
But
so
now I
cool.
know that there are other writers that do it too.
Yeah.
So it's not just me. Yeah. It's just
It's,
one way of working.
yeah. And I'm definitely like, I do, like NaNoWriMo every year. And I always say, like, I'm a pantser. Like, I cannot plan a story to save my life. Like, I'm just, here are some characters. Let's see what they do. But a complicated plot, like that's what gets me is like I would lose the thread. So that's what I'm impressed with is that you're able to have a very like the ending makes so much sense once you get there, you're like, oh, that's incre like it just fits so well, but like I could not have predicted it,
I just credit the unconscious because I think the unconscious mind does it all and it just has to come through. And I think some people are more able to tap on that before they start. And I just can't. I have to be in the moment. I have to be seeing what my characters do. But it's always like a miracle to me that everything comes together and I have a satisfying ending. But I always have a bunch of threads where it could be a number of people. And I always keep that alive and I make things more and more complicated for each character so that by the time I get to the end, I've set it up so there's four or five people that could have done it. And that way I choose the best one basically. So it's not like I'm planting red herrings. I'm like building them
No.
all as the possible real culprit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then I'm ready to find out which one it is.
I love that. I love that. There are some amazing characters in this book, so I want to kind of touch on that a little bit. I want to start with Avery because I find Avery's character so fascinating. As a parent myself, I found it really refreshing that you chose to have Avery be a difficult child. I think so often in stories where there's a missing child, the child is always this like innocent little cherub, right? Like this like very
Idealized
sweet,
child,
idealized child. And I kind of love that like it doesn't make anyone want to find her less, but it does come through when people are talking about her. They're like, eh, well, I mean, if she hadn't gotten in trouble at choir, she's always getting in trouble. Like I just found it really interesting. And I just wonder if you could talk a little bit more about why you chose to make her a kind of difficult
Well,
child.
I knew right from the beginning that she would be a difficult child because I know so many parents who have kids who are, difficult, challenging. Some of them have diagnoses of different sorts, some don't. And then quite often there's a disagreement between the two parents on how to parent that particular child. And they often have another child who's pretty straightforward, which makes things even more confusing in a way. And so I wanted to get a family that was dealing with that. There's the experts who are saying one thing, the dad wants to have boundaries. The mother thinks it's a phase kind of thing. Nobody really knows how to deal with Avery. And I think there are a lot of parents out there with challenging children who are getting conflicting advice from experts, who are being judged by other parents, who perhaps don't have difficult children, and who have that stress on the marriage. So I thought that was just an interesting setup. And as you say, I agree that the idea of the idealized child being stolen, it's more interesting when a difficult child is stolen. I mean, you're right, nobody wants to get her back any less, but it's just a more interesting dynamic. So that's why I did it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never
There's
like
a
things to be easy either. I like things to be complicated.
Of course, it's more fun to read when it's a complicated dynamic. There's a scene that Avery's mom is remembering. I think it's like maybe the first time that Avery's invited to a birthday party
Oh,
or
the birthday
something.
party.
Oh, and I felt for her so much because it's like she just feels all the eyes on her and all the moms like judging. And like my children, I'm very lucky. My kids are pretty chill, but like, there's always that moment where your kid is like throwing a tantrum and everyone's like watching you, like, how are you gonna handle this?
Yes, and let's judge you on the
Yeah.
airplane with your screaming kid, right?
Right?
Like
It's like
everyone hasn't been there.
100%.
Yeah.
And I just, oh my gosh, I loved that scene. I was like, yeah, this
I
is.
call it competitive comparative parenting. You know, there's a lot of that where people compete to have the best kid or to be the most proud of their child or comparing, you know, how they are as a parent. And parents with straight ahead kids often think that they're that way because they're superior parents, but this is not the case. And as anyone with two children, one who is straightforward and one who isn't, will tell you. So I wanted to put my couple in that situation with a lot of people judging. Then, of course, you've got the police come in judging. Well, how difficult was she? Like, what might he have done, right? So already it's more interesting than, yeah. So I had a lot of fun with that.
Avery's a really interesting character. You have a lot of different perspectives in this book, and I'm curious, was there a POV that was the easiest or most fun to write? And was there one that was like really hard to write?
I find them all interesting and fun to write. If I don't, then I usually get rid of that character because if I, that's the way I write. If I can't get into them, into their heads and have them carry me along, then they're not working and I don't keep them. So I enjoy all of them. I enjoy the mother who's like so distraught. I enjoy the father who's under so much pressure. I enjoy all the other characters. I like all of them, as I said, or I don't write them. But the most difficult one in this book was Avery, just because I don't really know any kids like her. And she's very bright and very advanced in her age, but she's also only 9 years old. So there's a lot she doesn't realize she doesn't know, you know. So she was an interesting, you know, I had to do quite a bit of research on her. But yeah, she was, I like her too. She's an interesting character. Yeah.
Yeah, I wondered about that because she's very precocious and she's very
Yes.
smart, but also it's like she's the intelligence of a much older kid, but still some of the logic of a 9-year-old,
Yes.
which
So I
I
was trying to
always find
capture.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting with children. They can be very bright and perceptive in some areas, but other things can go right over their heads.
Yeah.
So yeah, I quite enjoyed writing her, but I found her more of a challenge than, say, writing the mother or the father,
Right.
because those are roles I'm more, you know, used to being in a way. Yeah.
Without any spoilers, there's at least one character who might be a psychopath. What is it like writing in that headspace and getting into that mindset?
It's really interesting. I find psychopaths very interesting, and I do a lot of reading about them. I think they're all around us. You know, I think it's 1% of the population or whatever. And most psychopaths are not, you know, serial killers. Some are, but there's a lot of people around that just have that sort of something a bit missing, where they're very, very into what they want. So I just have always found them interesting. And yeah, we won't give it away, but there might be at least one psychopath in this story. Most of my stories, I think, focus on ordinary people who are in relatively ordinary lives until something blows up and then they're under tremendous pressure. But, you know, sometimes I throw in a psychopath and sometimes I don't, but mostly they're ordinary people. You can't have a whole street of psychopaths. Statistically, it just wouldn't happen.
That
Yeah.
would, ooh, that would be quite the neighborhood, though.
Ooh. Yeah, you'd be selling up.
Speaking of neighborhoods, I find this so fascinating. What do you think it is about these like quiet suburban neighborhoods that are just the perfect setting for a thriller? Because they are like, what is it about the suburbs?
I like to focus on sort of ordinary people, ordinary lives. So for that, and I like when people can sort of know each other somewhat, which they can do in a neighborhood. If you're in a really busy city like New York, you don't really know your neighbors very well. A smaller neighborhood or a street gives you an opportunity to have those connections where you think you kind of know someone, but you don't really know them very much, and they don't know you very much. And it's just looking at normal people. So that's why it's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, I think I'm so drawn to them because I did not grow up in a suburban neighborhood setting. As a kid, I lived on a very busy street, so I didn't really know my neighbors. I like kind of would I would be able to recognize them, but like beyond that. And now I live literally in the middle of the woods, and I have one neighbor who I don't even know their name.
Oh, okay. I live on a farm in the country now. So same. So it would be hard to have interactions with a lot of people if they're not in your life. So yeah.
So I think that's why I'm so drawn to them, that I'm just like, oh, this is because I do. I love a thriller set in these, like a cul-de-sac or like something where like everyone knows everyone else and everyone's in everyone else's business. And I always find it so fascinating when it's like the police are going door to door and they're like, oh, did you notice anything weird? And they're like, well, yeah, I saw this truck that was like not. And I'm like, I would never notice anything.
No,
It's
I would be
amazing.
it's funny because I'm a crime writer, but I would be a terrible witness. I don't notice anything. I'm always in my head, so I make it up, but I would be a lousy in-person witness. I don't notice things.
Yeah,
And
I'm
I
the
think
same
most people
way.
don't. Yeah, I think most people don't, which is why eyewitness accounts are so useless, really, because you can take two
Absolutely.
people who see the same thing and they'll take different things away from it. And they'll both be telling their own truth, and they'll both be sure that they're right, but they'll be telling you different things. One will say it's a red car, the other will say it's a blue car. And so, yeah, eyewitness accounts are very sketchy, I think.
Yeah, I've always thought that, like, I forget the first time I was young and I was watching some sort of thing with a jury and there was an eyewitness account and I was just like, oh gosh, I had this realization that I was like, I don't think I look at people's faces that much. Like, I don't think
No.
I would notice something out of the ordinary. Like,
I don't notice what they wear.
no.
You know,
Nope.
like when you spend all day with someone, and you think, oh, what were they wearing today? Blank.
Couldn't
Don't
tell you.
notice. Yeah.
Yeah, half the time I don't know what I'm wearing. Like I'm just like, oh, what shirt did I put on today? I don't know. Like I would be useless as a witness.
So you have to be careful with those eyewitnesses. You can't believe everything you hear,
Yeah,
especially if they have
absolutely.
motives. Especially if they have
Right.
motives to not
Yeah.
maybe tell exactly what they saw.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I did have a question that we touched on a little bit in because you don't know the ending and you kind of let your characters kind of do their own thing. And I was wondering, as someone who writes like that, have your characters ever done anything that just shocked you, that like came out of left field and you're like, what? Wow, did not see that coming. Has that ever happened when you're writing?
It definitely has. I don't think it's ever shocked me to the point where I think, oh my God, that shouldn't happen, but they often do surprise me. No, nothing my characters do shock me because I'm prepared to be shocked.
That's true.
But they do surprise me. Like they do take a turn they'll reveal something that I'll think, I didn't know that about you. Isn't that interesting? And then it's off in another direction. So that's one of the joys of writing. I mean, that's one of the fun things about not planning is that your characters can surprise you.
I
And I
love
can't
that.
really think of any ones that I can tell you in this story without giving
Right.
things away. That's
Yeah.
the problem. But for
Yeah.
instance, when I was writing that opening scene, I remember the dad apologizing to the daughter and saying, I'm really sorry. And then he says, please don't tell your mother. And I didn't see that coming. I thought, ooh, okay. So there's a whole, and then he thinks, even if she does tell her mother, the mother knows that the daughter's a lying, that she a liar, but she doesn't realize that he's a liar. And then
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm into a whole new bunch of stuff there. So
Yes.
it's little things like that. I get to know my characters as I go along, and I think, oh, I didn't know that about you. That's interesting. And then they'll sometimes do things that there's one really, I can't talk about it, but there's one with the I'll just say the dumpster. So there's some
Yes.
surprises there that I did not see
Yes.
coming at all.
That checks out because that, I'll say revelation. I was like, oh,
I
okay.
had no idea that was coming. The whole dumpster thing.
Wow. I love that. Because that's again, like when I do write, it is very much like, let's just see what happens. I've created some characters, let's see what they do. But I've talked to other authors who plan out ahead and I'll be like, oh, do your characters ever surprise you? And they're like, no. No, I'm the author. And I'm like, okay,
It's just,
but come on.
yeah, but it's just, it, I think it's just the way your brain works. I mean, those,
Totally.
the books are this, they're the same quality regard to the reader. Like
Oh,
the reader
yeah.
can't tell if you planned it or didn't.
Yep.
It's just a different style of working. It's a different style of being in touch with your creative brain, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a very, I'm more emotional than analytical.
Yes.
So I write with emotion. And then I, when I edit, I get very analytical. But it's so funny because in my own life, I plan everything. I plan my day, I plan my week, I have my 5-year plan. I plan everything. I have lists, but in my writing, it's the only place I don't plan anything.
Well, I love
I love and
that.
I like predictability and I like structure, but in my books, I don't have any of that. So it's the one place where I just kind of go crazy.
That's really cool.
It's very strange. Like if you're not a planner, do you plan in your own life?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just
interesting.
like you. I have lists everywhere and like I'm very,
Interesting. So I
yeah.
feel like asking the next planner writer that I meet, do you
Yeah.
like just wing it in your own personal life? Because
Is your life just chaos? I don't know.
yeah, actually, I'm thinking now of someone I know who's a planner whose life is pretty chaotic.
That's
So I
so
just wonder. That's an
interesting.
interesting, it's an interesting question.
Oh,
But
we've stumbled on something here.
I'm very, buttoned down in my life. But in
Yeah.
my books, I'm wide,
Yeah,
wild.
just let it go and see what happens. No, I love that. Very
Yeah.
good. Yeah, we've definitely stumbled across something
Stumbled on
here.
something
This
interesting here. Yeah.
is That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I wonder if it's like a left brain, right brain thing, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Every, you know, everyone's creative, but like all
Right.
writers are creative, but it's just how they approach it or how they get the entry in, you know.
Yeah.
And I find I remember a lot of my dreams. Do you remember a lot of your dreams?
Sometimes I go through
Yeah.
phases where I will remember all
Yeah.
of them for like a month and then I'll,
Yeah.
yeah.
Because I think some people are more in touch with the unconscious comes through sort of in that way. And other people are more analytical and it comes through in a more analytical way. So I
Yeah.
don't know.
Interesting. Oh, this is going to become one of my staple questions now, because now I'm going
Oh.
to like start tracking the data.
Yeah, are you a planner or a pantser? And what do you do in your own life? Tell the truth. Then, keep the data and then send it to me and we'll do a study and yeah.
Yes, we'll do a little a study of authors. I love this.
Maybe authors whose characters don't surprise them, it's because
Yeah.
they're constantly surprised in their life. Whereas I try never to be surprised in my life. I like things to be predictable.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe writing is
Interesting.
just a refuge for all of us,
I think
you
it
know?
might be. Yeah, it's just kind of like the opposite of
Yeah.
your normal. It's an escape regardless, right? It's
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's definitely an escape. I write
Okay.
for escape. And people
Yeah.
read for escape. They read my books
Absolutely.
for escape anyway. I hope they don't read my books for ideas of how to kill people because that wouldn't be good.
Can you imagine if someone was like, I love this book. I got so many ideas. What?
Wouldn't be good. No.
Run away. Just start calling up, like, hey, you need to keep an eye on this person. That's hilarious. As we start wrapping up, is there anything you've read recently that you'd like to recommend?
Oh, I've been reading. I always read ahead. Like I get the arcs. I'm reading ahead, so I'm reading an Abigail Dean right now. So
Ooh.
I'll recommend her old book, Girl
Okay.
A, which was
Excellent.
brilliant. Have you read Girl A?
I have it at home. I haven't
Oh,
read it yet.
it's superb.
Oh, good.
And one I've read recently, well, quite a while ago, but it's out now. It's quite new. Is Liz Nugent's Strange Sally Diamond,
Oh,
which is
okay.
also brilliant. It's also good. They're both, funnily enough, both books about highly dysfunctional families, and they're quite dark. So you
Love that.
see, I like to read about dysfunctional families. Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Look at you.
Yeah, that's another thing that I always find interesting is do authors read kind of within their own genre? Do they like branch out a little bit? And
I do both. Like I read a lot within my genre, but I also like to read outside my genre. So I like Victorian classics. I like
Oh,
nonfiction.
nice.
I like adventure in the sense of like shipwreck stories or mountain
Ooh,
climbing
yeah.
or dangerous things that I would never ever do. I like stuff like that.
That's
You know,
awesome.
people going to the Arctic and being
Yeah.
stuck in the ice for 3 years, things that I would never do.
Right?
Yeah,
Yeah. Nope.
that's
I'm
another
good.
thing.
I will stay here in my safe little bookstore. Not venture out.
Exactly. I can read about someone else doing it. That's fine for me.
Yes.
I have to do it
100%.
myself.
Like, more power to them, but I will, nope, I'll read about it. I won't. I'm not gonna do it myself.
Same.
Amazing. Well, Sherry, thank you so much. This has been delightful. This book is amazing. I can't wait to hand sell it to all of my thriller readers, of which there are many here in New
Yes,
England.
thank you.
And congrats on the launch and all the success, and good luck with future books. I can't wait to read more.
No, there's more in the pipeline.
Excellent.
So, anyway, carry on with your own writing.
Yes, will do. Someday, who knows?
Okay. Thank you
Oh,
very
God.
much.
Thank
Nice
you.
to see you.
You
Okay,
too.
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Huge thanks again to Sherry LaPena for joining me on the podcast. Everyone Here Is Lying is available now from Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and all of those links will be in the show notes along with this episode's shoppable list, which you can also find at gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye.